deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp at the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Hey there, this is Joe Moe from the Mad Monster Party, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Alan Bennett from Bennett's Curse in Baltimore, Maryland, and you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Malcolm McDowell, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
This is Graham Wilson from Ghost Hunters and Rather Dashing Games, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jeremy Kinley. I'm co-owners of Wicked World Scare Grounds in Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is Eddie Embry from the Lexington Screen Park. You're listening to the Big Scary Show.
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Well, here it is, the weekend of Trans World, listeners. And while Badger's holding the fort there, getting all the great interviews and hanging out with all the people he calls the cool kids, I'm stuck in the studio producing the show. But it's okay, because I'm going to go hang out at Horror Hound Weekend with people like Naomi Grossman, Pepper from American Horror Story. She was also my best woman when I got married to the Lady of Darkness in Canada last year. Just this morning, I got an invitation from a friend to have dinner with her and Kane Hodder. Jason Voorhees. How cool is that? One of my actresses in Mall met William Catt tonight, and she wants to dress as Carrie for him tomorrow at his request. Maybe get to hang out with Linda Blair, and if I'm really lucky and play my cards right, maybe even Norman Reedus. Easy, Nez. I said maybe. But you know what I'll do for you if I can. So, Badger, you go hang out with the cool kids in St. Louis. I'm going to go hang out with these cool kids in Cincinnati. And always remember, you're listening to the Big Scary Show.
In a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait. To be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Transylvania Transport Company. Suture Island on the Big Scary Show.
Let us trade. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start off with an update from Haunt X. Take an all-day airbrush boot camp at Haunt X in Reno, Nevada on Thursday, April 30th. Taught by Dutch Bahari, a finalist on Skin Wars, this hands-on workshop will teach you everything about hardware, techniques, and tricks from a pro's point of view. Visit hauntx.com for details and to sign up. You'll be so happy, they'll have to chisel the smile off your face. We have this news from Spooky Empire in Orlando, Florida. Sci-fi face-off judge Glenn Hetrick returns to Spooky Empire this May. Glenn Hetrick's special FX work can be seen on the big screen in films such as The Hunger Games: Catching Fire, Legion, The Chronicles of Riddick, Blade 2, and popular TV shows including Heroes, Extant, CSN NY, X-Files, and Angel. Glenn is the owner of Optic Nerve Studios and has even designed costumes and props for Lady Gaga. Meet Glenn Hetrick at Spooky Empire featuring Halloween Extreme, Friday and Saturday only, May 15th and 16th at the DoubleTree at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. Tickets and VIP packages are available at SpookyEmpire.com. Hotel rooms are going fast, so you better get yours today. We have some hiring news from the Total Terror Haunted Attraction in Moseley, Virginia. Do you love to scare people? Are you a creative type that needs a new outlet? Come join us at a Total Terror and have the thrill of scaring our victims. We need all kinds of volunteers, actors, makeup artists, security, technicians, carpenters, etc. And if your group is looking for a fundraiser, Total Terror can help. We have successfully partnered with several organizations to help them raise money or fulfill volunteer requirements. Groups in the past have included the Prince George Police Department and their charity, the Special Olympics, the Colonial Heights Moose Lodge, Colonial Heights High School Drama Club, Dinwiddie High School Drama Club, and the soldiers of the Fort Lee AIT program. Have a blast scaring people and raise money for your cause or group. Contact Chip Wells at chip@totalterror.biz. And as a reminder, Total Terror this year will be located at the Chesterfield Berry Farm. We have some news from the Davis Graveyard in Milwaukee, Oregon. We have updated our workshops for 2015. Space is limited, so if you're interested, you better sign up soon. We hold workshops on Saturdays and Sundays from June through September at our shop, showing people how to make the style of Halloween props we make. You pay a small fee to attend the limited space workshop and take home a finished prop. For safety reasons, no children under 15 allowed, and ages 15 to 18 must be accompanied by an adult. For more information, go to davisgraveyard.com/workshops. We have a call for makeup artists in Southern California, and this comes via Scare LA. Calling all makeup artists on all skill levels. We are looking for makeup artists to volunteer to work on a very special project. You'll be part of a drill for Homeland Security, as well as the FBI, TSA, the Air Force, and local police and fire departments. It will be a disaster simulation that will involve over 200 people. This will take place at an airport in Southern California on a Friday evening at the end of April. The types of makeup will range from extreme gore to light wounds. Please forward your legal name, birth date, phone number, email, and t-shirt size to tickets2@yahoo.com. This is a volunteer-based opportunity, but this exciting event can be used in your portfolio or resume. All makeup supplies, parking, event t-shirt, and a meal will be provided. Details will be provided once you have an RSVP with your information. Thank you, and please share this exciting opportunity. We have this news from Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor Jack Noseworthy to the guest roster for Days of the Dead, Indianapolis, happening June 26th through the 28th at the Wyndham, Indianapolis West. Jack Noseworthy has appeared in such films as Event Horizon, Idle Hands, and Cecil B. Demented. He also starred in the short-lived MTV drama Dead at 21. This is Jack Noseworthy's first ever convention appearance. Jack joins previously announced guests Angus Scrimm, Tobin Bell, Kane Hodder, Louise and Lisa Burns, and many more to be announced as Days of the Dead invades Indianapolis for its sixth show in the Hoosier State. Vendor spaces and tickets are on sale now at daysofthedead.net. We have this news from the Auburntown Asylum in Auburntown, Tennessee. Are you the leader of a club, team, or organization? Do you and your members enjoy good, family-friendly, terrifying fun? Then we have a proposal that you'd be certifiably insane to pass up. The doctors and staff of Auburntown Asylum cordially request your presence to preview our attraction and to discuss an incredible fundraising opportunity. You and your guest, limit two per organization, will be given the chance to walk the halls of the asylum and come face to face with our patients, doctors, and anything else that may be lurking in the shadows. Should you escape intact, then we invite you to sit down with our owners and learn how you can use our haunt to your organization's advantage. This event will be held on April 25th, 2015. Email Dana Chapman at chapman@dtccom.net for more details. Finally, we have this interesting story from station KOMO in Seattle. Turning a deathbed into a garden bed is the idea behind the Urban Death Project, a nonprofit group looking to provide a human composting facility. The facility would be a repository intended for city dwellers to turn their departed into compost suitable for use in a garden or orchard. I love the idea of growing a tree out of someone I love that I've lost, said Urban Death Project founder Katrina Spade. She came up with the concept in 2011 and was awarded an $80,000 grant in 2014 from Echoing Green, a New York-based environmentally conscious philanthropy. Cemeteries don't hold any meaning anymore, said Spade. She sees the tons of metal, wood, and cement that are buried each year, as well as the hundreds of gallons of embalming fluid, as wasteful and unnecessary. She doesn't oppose a person's right to choose a traditional burial, but she wants to provide a more environmentally friendly option. As long as it's a safe and sanitary and effective way of bringing a body into another state, I think there should be many options, said Spade. She's proposing to build a three-story building where family and friends would bring in their deceased loved ones wearing only a biodegradable shroud. You'd lay your loved one onto wood chips and sawdust. That would be the moment you say goodbye, Spade said. Then a month and a half later, take some soil away and have another ceremony of your own. Maybe grow a tree with your loved one's soil. She says with proper care, it takes about 6 weeks for a body to fully decompose, bones and all, into a coarse granular soil. The bodies are not touching each other in any way at the beginning, but once they become composite material, there will be mixing and finishing, and that's when the art material is no longer one person, Spade says. You'll be getting your grandmother, but you'll also be getting your grandmother's neighbor. Spade knows her project faces many legal and zoning hurdles. Washington's current state law requires the bodies of humans to be buried, cremated, or donated to science. If bodies are transferred out of state, then the laws of the next state go into effect. Many states are legalizing water cremations, a project known as alkaline hydrolysis. Spade thinks it's time to flesh out new forms of burial, especially since many urban centers no longer allow new cemeteries to be built. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Announcing the second annual Haunt X Haunters Retreat, April 30th through May 3rd, 2015, at the Circus Circus Convention Center in Reno, Nevada. With 4 days of classes and workshops and a two-day trade show, Haunt X is an immersive experience with activities taking place 14 hours a day, including a costume ball, cheesy movie night, a paranormal investigation, and pub crawl, scary scavenger hunt, and the soon-to-be legendary hospitality suite. For more information, visit www.hauntx.com. That's hauntx.com. We'll see you in Reno.
ladies and gentlemen, you know that music? It's special game show music because it's time for the Big Scary Show's very own game show, 13 Questions of Doom. And, of course, we have our other hosts out there as our contestants, including Storm.
Thank you, Don Badger, for the intro. Let's meet our other contestants today.
Our other contestants would be the unknown scare actor.
I've never done this before, so just bear with me.
And, of course, not to be outdone, the Haunster medalist, Jerry Vane.
I'm going to win a toaster.
Or a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. We'll see, but of course, I'm just the announcer. Let's meet our MC and host, Storm. Take it away!
All right, greetings, everybody. And for all you listeners who are not familiar, this is the 13 Questions of Doom. 13 Questions of Doom is a McLaughlin Group Roundtable quick-fire lightning answering question thing. I have the answers. Our contestants have, well, hopefully the answers. We'll find out. And today's category, we are talking Transworld or any other haunt convention because, well, you know, me and Jerry have never actually gotten out to St. Louis during Transworld. No. Travel problems and stuff, mainly.
He did also, go to Vegas one year.
I did go to Vegas, yes.
He went to, true. He did go to it at Vegas. So, you know, lousy.
Other podcasts, but we won't talk.
Lousy smarch weather. So, gentlemen, are we ready to go?
Yes.
I believe we are.
All right. And the first question, Badger, you will get the first answer on this one. For Transworld or any other haunt convention, question number one of the 13 Questions of Doom. Ladies and gentlemen, strap in, get ready, because it's going to be a ride. Badger, what is your favorite tour, party, or extra event?
Absolutely. Got to be the City Museum in St. Louis for Transworld.
All right, we'll give you 1 point for that one. That's pretty popular. Jim, what about you?
Well, I would have to say it would be the Insane Shane party. It was off the hook last year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's getting off the ground for this year, but we'll give you half a point. And
not
Jerry,
happening this year.
Well, there we go. That's why we're only giving half a point. Jerry, what about you?
Soon, Shane.
I've only been to the MHC Masquerade Ball, so.
So, 0 points for creativity for Jerry. The actual correct question is Price is Fright, because this year will be its final year.
Very good point.
That's right, they're only doing three of them.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what goes next year. And again, hopefully, Shane, get better. Make things insane for next year. Question number two, we're going to start out with Jim on this one. Jim, Dark Zone, cool or too damn loud and dark to take slash place orders?
Oh, absolutely, unequivocally, very, very cool. Loved it.
And Badger.
Great place to take a date.
That's right. That one even throws me for a loop. Jerry, what about you?
Coming from the married guy. Too much damn neon. Other than that, very damn cool.
All right, we'll give you a point for that one. Jerry gets a point in that round. It's too damn loud for business. It's a trade show. Give it its own room. Question number three.
Jerry, the Dark Zone technically is its own room, dude.
Well, yeah, but it's still there for people for business and stuff. It's
technically
building.
Its own room, dude.
Technically.
That's why they call it the Dark Zone.
Well, it's a very large room.
It's still separate from the rest of the convention.
All right. Okay. I gave you a point. You want me to take it away? I mean, it's just how it goes. I can take a point
Shut
away.
Up, asshole.
This is like those British game shows on NPR.
This is exactly why Jerry's getting the next
one. I thought
one
it was PBR.
Let's see on this one. This is going to be one of our troublemaking questions today. Question number three, 13 Questions of Doom. Maximum number of overnight roomies to a double room.
I have heard literally 12 people in one room.
Too damn many. Badger.
We've had 6 last year at Midwest.
Yes, we did.
Too damn many. Jim.
5.
No, the correct answer is three. Yes, only have three people in a room. It's better that way. That should be the maximum.
Gotta love that third wheel.
Yep, I was snuggling with Wicked Wendy, so I'm good. Oh, I wasn't supposed to talk about that.
Is that what that's called?
I told you this was going to be the troublemaking question.
What? Well, we had at MHC last year, we had five people in the room. Six, if you count Mark Farron. He's big enough to cover two people, so.
Yeah.
We had four in the room and two special guests that spent one night, didn't say a word, and were gone before we woke up. So we're exactly.
We're in the room talking, drinking.
Don't even
everything.
Know that they were really existing.
I think the two of them were dead.
They were the Gavin Goska of roommates.
Well, you know what? Hearing all this, maybe we'll refine this. The actual true answer should be as many as are actually paying for the room, because I don't think the answer's matching up. Well, there we go. Now that's a winner.
All six paid. Yep, yep.
The other two paid?
Yep, that's what you told me. That's what you told me when I settled up.
Yeah. There was that little thing. They were gone so quickly I had kind of forgotten.
I didn't.
Question number four. Jim, you're getting this one first. Most annoying... What? Unknown scare actor. Most annoying show floor sound.
Oh, well, you know, I have to go back 2 years, and that would be the sound of Granny being raped.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, that's got to be bad. I'm giving a point for that one.
It was horrible.
Jerry, you got to follow that one.
Seriously, I actually mentioned it in the intro I did for the show, the last episode. Between the air horns and those air guns going off constantly, you guys know as well as I do, trying to conduct business with those things blowing off. Although I have to say the most annoying one was the machine gun going off on the Wells Township Hummer, what was it, a year or two ago at MHC. They kept firing that thing off, and it pissed everyone off.
That thing was jarring. That one was rough.
No offense to Wells Township, because you guys still do my music, but that thing was a pain in the ass.
No, that thing was great. Just, you know, the amount of times and leaning on it every once in a while. All right, it was cool on Saturday. It's now noon on Sunday. Really, somebody cut the
eight. We're all hungover.
We know what it can do. Badger, what about you? Most annoying show floor sound.
Got to go with All Scares, Raping Granny at Halloween Extreme. And you can thank Chad Savage for making us never unhear that again. Thank you, Chad Savage.
I'm taking away half a point for no creativity. We're only giving you a half a point on that one. But, you know, Jim already answered. We gave him a point for that one. But the actual true answer, because thankfully for me, you know, if I did even hear, you know, the Raping Granny at any point, it was erased from my mind. But I'd have to say any prop giving the house rules over and over and over on a show floor. There'll be no smoking in my house. You will not touch the props. You will not do that. It's bad enough hearing it at your haunt. I think we all get the gist of it. That'll drive
at
you nuts.
Comic-Con, at Comic-Con, we actually heard constantly the pages for Lost Children, like every 20 minutes. It was annoying.
I recorded the voice at Scarewinds, the "Welcome to Scarewinds, do not touch the monsters will not touch you," back in 2003, and they're still using it in the park to this day, they run Scarewinds.
That's not too bad unless you're standing next to it.
Oh, guess who had to work a haunt where that was being blasted at the queue line every 7 minutes?
Well, of course. I mean, that's every haunt actor's doom. A two-minute... rotating track. I've had a few of that I've been wonderfully tortured with over the years. All right, Badger, you're getting the next one. What is the best prize / giveaway at a convention or a Transworld or any other show?
Can we say Big Scary Show's scavenger hunt from 2 years ago?
I'm giving you a point for showing the show, but it's not the best answer.
It
but
was a question
that's a good one.
And that wasn't necessarily my answer. That was a question I had.
Well, you can, but all right.
I'll take the point, fine.
What's your final answer? If that's
I'll take the point. I should get an extra point because you came up with it.
Hey, oh, yeah, that's right. Because, marketing weasel. Yeah. All right. Weasel. Jerry, what about you? Best prize or giveaway at the show?
I was actually in conjunction with the Garage of Evil Twitter scavenger hunt.
I'm giving point for that, for supporting a fellow New England event and the Garage of Evil, where there's always free beer and awesomeness. So,
we'll get
a point with that.
Steve-O was constantly sending out random Twitters saying the first person to show up at Jerry Vane's booth to sing the entire first verse of My Heart Will Go On would get a free CD.
I remember they kept having those people come over. That is
fantastic. It was awesome.
It would have been funny had you known about that was going to happen. But
I had no idea.
No, that's the best.
I think that's what made it even just more classic.
No idea. All of a sudden these guys would come up and start singing. I'm like, what the hell?
And they were like, give me my CD. What?
Listen, I was dying with that too, because that took me back to college, where we had some sort of student activities event. And, I'm sitting there talking with one of my friends. They're running one of the student activity booths, and, people are there. And this one girl, starts flirting with me and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So she leaves. I'm like, yeah, awesome. And, the person behind the thing that I knew gave her a frisbee and stuff. I'm like, oh, that was cool. So, how you guys giving away stuff? Oh, well, I have them do weird stuff and things like that. One I told her, if you flirt with her, I give you. If she flirted with you, you get a frisbee. I'm like, damn,
just a frisbee.
Yeah, well, what are you saying? Saying that in college with my long, fabulous Fabio long hair,
no one's ever seen.
What do you mean never seen? I'm going to have to post pictures, or the next time at MHC.
I have never seen a picture of you with long hair.
Oh my God, it's fantastic.
With your 80s mullet.
No. Hey, again, it's mullet, not man. A mullet. No, I had the full hair, and it wasn't the 80s. I wasn't allowed to grow in the 80s. I went to Catholic school. All right, unknown scare actor, best prize or giveaway?
Most of the stuff you can get at any booth at Transworld, but I got to say, last year the Froggy's Fog edible bubbles were impressive.
All right. Again, showing a sponsor. These guys learn well from the marketing weasel. We'll give
when
that
they come out with fireball flavored bubbles, that's it. I'm there.
Fireball. Good answers, but not the best answer. No, the best prize you could possibly get at Transworld or any other show is airline vouchers. Because that would save people a hell of a lot of money. All right.
Hold on. Before
I would
we go on,
wish for that.
Jerry, you were talking about Fireball.
Yes.
Have you ever had Fireball and Angry Orchard?
Yes, I have, actually.
It's called Angry Balls.
Right, yes, I have. I have had that. I actually had that a couple weeks ago. Somebody came out. I'm like, what the hell is this? And they said they couldn't remember the name of it because they were on their fourth one.
Balls jokes.
It is quite good, actually.
I had a thing last night called Bloodlust, and Bloodbath, and it is a vampire Cabernet Shambora, I think it was, and it's Shambora, it's a liqueur, and cranberry juice. Mm. Very tasty.
Probably still not as good as Tater's Heavy Flow, but we digress.
Vic Zombie Juice, for our listeners at home, please, on your scorecards, write down question 12 at this point. Question 12. It'll all be made, make more sense in a little bit. We've got two more questions before our commercial break. So we're going with the next question, and this one's going to Jerry. Mm-hmm. Best meal decision.
Oh, the Drury Happy Hour and free buffet. That saves so much damn money, it's ridiculous.
I'm giving you half a point because Vegas buffets, we'll let you go on that one.
Dude.
I know, but you're
from... I'm not talking about Vegas, I'm talking about the conventions.
You live in Vegas, so yeah, a free buffet,
you have to
appreciate that.
Okay. I'm going to throw an addendum to this.
Uh-huh.
You have to help me with the name of that area over that It's down the street from where the convention center was. You guys had me told me about it a couple of years ago, and they have like an indoor food
North market in Columbus. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I went in there and had their short ribs.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I was ready for a nap.
There we go. I'm giving you a whole point for A. We're giving you your Vegas buffet and free buffet. We get that, but.
No,
local
the
and Austin, we're giving
the
you the
brewery. Air.
Yes, I know, but we get that. But if you were not from Vegas and you said, yeah, free buffet is your best meal decision at a convention, you'd lose points. Because, no, free buffets are not a great decision. Oh, okay. Badger.
Yes.
Best meal decision.
Getting invited to Lee George's Ticket Leap dinner on Friday nights.
Okay, that sounds good.
I have not been able to attend them because I've been acting at the haunts, but hopefully Lee George will invite me again.
Okay.
Lee from TicketLeap.com. Lee George, waiting for that invite.
Oh, yeah, and the last year at the Scaratorium in the actors area afterwards, the White Castle, free White Castle burgers, they rocked.
I'm taking away a point for mentioning White Castle as a good decision. this will actually work with our last decision at this point, but especially if there's an elevator.
Yeah, no, which is it?
Just remember, he had to sleep in my room that night.
Exactly. So, point taken away. Jim, best meal decision.
Take more.
BD's Mongolian Grill.
Ooh.
Look at that point. Social fun, and everybody actually has the money to afford that. Not too bad. But being in St. Louis, and the good choice for this year, the correct answer is anything with the words steakhouse in the title of the place. You're in the Midwest. You're in St. Louis. Have a steak while you're there. So we'll go into, the next question, which leads right into it. And Unknown Scare Actor, this one's for you. What is the worst meal decision at a convention?
Any McDonald's.
2 points. I mean, if you're traveling and go to McDonald's, it makes absolutely no sense. I can only see it if you're on the road. Sometimes when you're driving for a couple hundred miles, you have a hankering for salty kangaroo meat and a watered-down soda, so I understand it. But, yes, the people who run out and grab it while you're in a city that, great experience, you got friends and stuff around there, yeah, no, good. Good worst meal decision. Badger, worst meal decision.
Dumpster diving at 3 a.m.
Why? I'll give you a point, but is this just, is there a story behind that?
Hunger is hunger.
I'm sure that was an episode of CSI. So leading into that, Jerry...
Now, what if the dumpster was behind a place that ended in the word steakhouse in St. Louis?
I'm not giving credit for that one. That's still a bad decision. Oh, Jerry, worst meal decision.
A bag of popcorn, a warm PBR, and a stale Slim Jim.
I can see that. That's a variety store bad decision making for that. I'll give you a point because it's pretty close to what you'd actually find at the correct answer, and that is anything from a food court. Yes, people, I know it seems convenient. It is not a good idea when you go back to the show and you've eaten at a food court. Trust me, there are plenty of – any convention you go to, any hall, walk outside, walk a block. You're going to find much better food at a reasonable price than the food court. I cannot tell you how much it drives me nuts. And, yes, first couple of years going to conventions, I went to food courts and stuff. Then I took a walk outside, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm stupid. Because they're fantastic places no matter where you are. Take a look at a map at St. Louis if you're going to Transworld. Walk 3 blocks. You will not.
Well, didn't you walk like what was that place you walked like forever to try to get some food afterwards? It was a couple of years ago at MHC. You guys took off to get some Greek food or something like that?
Oh, Happy Greek. It was only about 3 or 4 blocks down the street. What happened is we kept walking because we had to go to that place where they mix all the stuff into the ice cream, and we're going back and forth.
What was that place?
It might have been. It was
Gino's?
No, it was a woman's name. It was. It's like Jamie's or
I know what you're talking about. They got the really weird flavors of ice cream and all
that.
Yeah,
because they,
they
mix it all together. Oh, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Raspberry placenta was a bit much, but still.
I think Badger went to the wrong place.
That's
maybe
good.
I was dumpster diving outside the med clinic. While we break for some Bromo Seltzer here, I would like to take the time to remind you, you are listening to the 13 Questions of Doom, hosted by our very own Storm. And, of course, we would love to tell you about our new sponsor of the Roundtable of Terror, Necrotic Creations, of some information you can find out about right now. So stay tuned.
Good evening. I have been instructed to speak on the behalf of Necrotic Creations. Master and Lady Necrotic have been feverishly working in their lab, creating the most unusual and, I guess, make Halloween props that are not only perfect for any home or pro haunt, but fit for a mausoleum. I mean, museum. Isn't it time you decorate with props that are top quality, durable, and affordable from a company that offers excellent customer service and fast delivery? Remember, your haunted home is a fright without these amazing touches of the macabre to delight your guests each Halloween. Visit them at necroticcreations.com. They are dying to bring all your wicked desires to life. Happy haunting.
And we're back to the 13 Questions of Doom here on the Big Scary Show's Roundtable of Terror, hosted by Storm. Take it away, Storm!
And also a reminder, if you are enjoying the 13 Questions of Doom, buy something from Necrotic Creations. If you are not enjoying the 13 Questions of Doom, buy something from the Necrotic Creations so that we can have better things. All right, question number 8. That's where we're at this time. This is a good one. This is a serious question. And I think I got to go to the expert, Jerry, first on this one. Jerry, are you ready? Question number 8.
Yeah.
Best non-black t-shirt color.
there's another color other than black?
Yes.
Closest one I would say would be, it's a kind of tie between the pumpkin orange or the purple.
No points. Badger, best non-black t-shirt color.
Light black.
Ooh, I'm giving you a point. You're damn close to the answer. Damn close.
A.K.A. faded black. A.K.A. I don't understand the question otherwise.
A.K.A. Well, gray. Okay.
Unknown scare actor.
Hot pink.
Sexy bitch.
We are not going pretty princess. Like
I have a...
You're fundraising something, I'm there for you. But pretty pink... princess for no reason? No.
I have an MHC t-shirt in hot pink.
But Chris wears it.
You wear that and the kilt at MHC. I'm buying beer for you.
Done.
Ladies
and gentlemen, this has been recorded. You heard this. It's a bet. It's on.
It is on.
One beer.
That's right.
Perfect.
Oh, hey, hold on. No. What? You said you're buying. You didn't say, you
I
can't throw
I'm
the beer
buying
in
him
afterwards.
Beer. I didn't say how much.
It doesn't matter. You said beer, period.
One
you
beer.
Didn't give a number.
He's got to buy me a yard of beer.
There you go.
3 feet of beer. Which is more than a meter of beer. The actual right answer on that one, and that's why Badger was close, getting the point, charcoal. Charcoal, best non-black color.
which is light black.
Well, it's a mixture of black and gray. It's fantastic, and it's also charcoal, you know, burning stuff. You
and
know.
Transworld 2008, the official T-shirts, and I actually heard this while I was at the booth, the official T-shirt for the convention was white.
Ooh.
And I heard people going, what the F? We're haunters. When the hell do you see us wear white?
Only if you're a zombie and you got splattered with blood. That's the only white.
It was
white
a great-looking shirt.
Volunteer shirts. I got a couple white volunteer shirts, which I used
to
paint in.
I think that's the reason it moved to St. Louis the next year.
I mean, if you're going to be in Vegas, at least make it stand out or something.
That probably been the idea. We're in Vegas. We have haunters running around in the, you know, killer sun even in March. Let's give them, if they wear black, they'll all die. So let's give them white. That was probably the thinking somewhere along there.
Well, they were getting jealous. Unofficial rumor is Jen was going to sign a 20-year contract with Vegas until they decided to do white T-shirts. Then it was like, cancel.
Yeah, wrong.
Refused to sign.
Yikes.
That's just a rumor, of course. Unsubstantiated. Of
course. Very unsubstantiated. And full of crap!
Question number 9. We'll see what unsubstantiated rumors we can get on this one. Badger, I'm giving you this one first, too. Number of vendors who will be MIA until Sunday afternoon. You'll see them at the close of the show for Saturday, but they'll be missing for the first few hours on Sunday.
74.
It's a little high. I don't think we'll have 74 empty booths. Unknown scare actor.
56.
Man, it's still high. I mean, did you hear this, listeners? Arga hosts do not think you can party. Jerry!
I'd say at least 25.
That might be close. You're behind. We'll give you a point. It's probably one of the closer numbers. The actual correct number is 13% of the vendors. That's right. 13% of the vendors will party too hard and miss the opening doors on Sunday.
Let me ask you a question. How many vendors will not be able to make it to Transworld because they are snowed or iced in and it has not melted away?
No, we're talking the second week of March.
Boston, you'll only have 6 feet of snow on the ground.
Unless they're taking the transit to Transworld, then they won't make it. But no, we're still operating here. The subways and trains are the only thing that aren't working in Boston, and they're trying to ditch the whole system so that we'll get the Olympics and they'll put in a whole new transit system, which would be awesome because the company I work for builds that stuff. So go for it.
My over under is 3.
I will say this at MHC, not last year, but the year before. Was it MEC last year? Let me think here. It was when Virgil and I were sharing a booth, actually. We had a gentleman that was next to us for the convention. He literally did not show up until the last 2 hours of Sunday.
That's fantastic.
Paid for a booth and didn't showed up for 2 hours, and his booth was packed.
Was that when you also were sharing with Mommy D?
No.
Okay.
This was just Virgil and I.
Gotcha.
That was 2 years ago. The same year. Yeah, I think because you guys were next to us. The Big Scary was next to us, and then I was with Virgil, and then there was somebody next to us. Then you were over at you were keeping an eye on Ticket Leap's booth, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes, partially.
yeah.
Maybe that's why I got invited to that dinner, Lee George.
A certain actor in the industry who, you know, whose initials rhyme with a certain television station, CW. He didn't show. He showed up for 2 hours at his booth the entire weekend, packed it up, and was gone.
Oh, the one who was on the entertainment network.
That thing that did
Playboys,
that thing.
Girls Next Door.
That guy that did that thing for
we will move along. Next question, Storm.
No, he's a good guy, but yes, if you take a picture with him, it's the same face in any picture. It's fantastic. You look at it over Facebook. It works. Bubba Hotep, great movie. Question number 10, and we'll just keep it right to Jerry with his cryptic, circling, unknown what he's talking about, but everybody knows. Question number 10, number of times you will be asked, who do you work for, while wearing the shirt of your haunt or company?
Oh God, we got that. I got that asked at least 200 times just on Saturday alone.
Really? While wearing a shirt?
Wow. Yep.
I'm giving. I'm,
you got a banner behind you and everything. Whoa, what do you guys do? What's name? Who do you work for?
Well, what do you do? Really? Is a little different. Who do you work for? Yeah. Okay, I can see it. We'll give you a point. Unknown scare actor.
Oh, I'd say about 50 times.
Wow, that's high. I'm not giving the you guys. I'm not giving them the credit, but we'll give. You know what? I'm going to give half a point. Badger, what about you?
11.
That's pretty close. It's pretty close. The actual correct number is 7. 7 times when you'll actually be wearing a shirt and someone will, you know, ask you, well, who do you work for? It's just too obvious.
Rhymes with 11.
Well, yeah, that's why I gave you half a point. All right. Now we're getting into meat and potatoes. The last three questions of the Roundtable of Terror's 13 Questions of Doom. And unknown scare actor, what is the strangest booth accessory you've ever seen?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. That is a tough one. The strangest booth accessory?
This is why it's a 13 question of doom. They're not easy questions. They're tough. They are doom.
I would have to say Sluggo at Screamline Studios.
That's the strangest booth accessory? Okay, no points. Jerry, what about you?
I don't know if this is the strangest, but it was definitely the most appreciated and probably the most purchased. But to have a booth that had all these scary props and everything and then have a fridge full of monster for sale.
Oh, my heroes.
Greatest thing ever.
That sounds awesome and stuff. I'm not sure if it's the strangest booth accessory. I think we're missing the question. Badger, bring us home! Strangest booth accessory.
It's got to be a tie between the 14 five-hour energies I consumed or sex toys.
I'm giving you a point for that latter one. Wow. Okay, that's
I'm not mentioning the booth.
That's
or the
confusing.
Convention.
I would. The correct answer is a leather couch. Dude, seriously, walk around Trans World. I'm sure you'll see one. Because
oh, they're beautiful. I know exactly where you can get that.
It's not a prop. They just have a leather couch in their booth. It's not really part of anything or a sale. You want to sit down on a leather couch. There you go. Very odd. All right, we're down to final two questions, and it is close. There is a point and a half separating from first to third.
You did ask people to remember this number.
For question 12, exactly. And, you know, because Badger remembered that we have referenced question 12 earlier in the 13 Questions of Doom, Badger, what is the must-have cocktail / beer?
Taters Heavy Flow, complete with clots.
I don't know if I can give a point for that one.
You haven't had it yet.
No.
We talked about it earlier. Jerry, what about you?
Must Zombie have juice. Zombie juice.
Again, I don't think they're selling that at a bar. Unknown scare actor, must have cocktail or beer?
Apple pie moonshine.
I'm giving that half a point because that is fantastic, and you can probably find that.
How about the Ed Douglas beer limited edition run?
That's not too bad.
PBR.
I would have even accepted the unknown scare actor brand of Big Scary Show beer, but
the blind apple pie taste testing on bus number 2.
Oh God,
that was great.
Well,
and Jim's 18-year-old scotch.
Yes. Again, these are good things, but these are not something that you can actually order. These
absinthe.
Are just forced upon you.
Badger
just lost half a point. Half a point.
It was the blind wine tasting they did my first year at MHC. Everybody tried to sit there and you can't. You're Mr. Wine Guy. You don't know what you're talking about. They put a glass of every single wine up on the counter. I named every single one of them. I didn't have to buy drinks the entire damn weekend.
You know, I forget. That's right. Jerry's the wine connoisseur.
You're right. You were there. You were there watching it. You were busting up.
I'm giving Jerry a point because he's a wine connoisseur, which freaked people out. That is fantastic. Badger, while you mentioned a good drink, because podcasts and on podcast history, I have to take away half a point. Now, the correct answer, especially if you're heading out to Transworld this year, if you're stopping by a bar, order an old-fashioned. Do that in St. Louis. That is the correct answer. So we are at the 13th question of the 13 questions of Doom. And guess what, folks? It's all tied up at 6.5 points. That's right. We've gone through 12 questions. Everybody's got 6.5 points. Talk to the scoring of judges later. There's math here, people. There is math.
Inside the big quiz.
Unknown scare actor, are you ready?
Ready.
It seemed like a good idea on paper.
The Big Scary Show Hunter's Digest booth?
We're giving a point. It seemed great till we're putting it together on the show floor.
Oh, my hell.
Jerry, you got to follow that one up. It seemed like a good idea on paper.
Oh, God. The haunted house that they use as the entrance to the masquerade ball.
That was actually fun. I thought Badger did a great job on that. That was a lot of work.
Not when I went through.
Oh, well, okay. I liked it. I thought it came out pretty well. I don't think it was that bad. But, again, a lot of work and something, but, you know, yeah, it seemed like a good idea on paper, but no points. Badger, what about you? It seemed like a good idea on paper.
It has to be a tie between Jerry Vane, I'll Just Go Up and Sing Ain't Nothing But a Good Time During Scaryoke, What Could Possibly Go Wrong, or Princess Trainwreck.
Those are evening themselves out, because we're always going to give Jerry, you know what? You're getting half a point for Princess Trainwreck, and I'm giving Jerry half a point because, you know, scaryoke.
I went up there with no voice.
Exactly.
Exactly. It was just that, oh, there'll be nobody with recording equipment or video available.
Storm.
And he did it anyway.
Now available on YouTube.
No, the one I'm most responsible for is when you opened up for Hank Travis Country Western Superstar.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, it's great YouTube. Oh, we might have to post that on the page sometime.
Let's not say we did.
Yes, we shall.
Oh, that was a good time. See, actual correct question answer to it seemed like a good idea on paper, and I'm sure you'll see this 2015 any show you go to, especially Transworld this year. Mascot costumes. That's right. The zipper up the front, lion, gorilla, or whatever. Yeah, at the booth, it seemed like a good idea. Until you go out there and look at it. Well, we've come to the end of the 13 Questions of Doom, and our winner by half a point is the Unknown Scare Actor.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah.
Whoop, there he is.
Well, Unknown Scare Actor, congratulations for winning the 13 Questions of Doom. You win Turtle Wax for a clear, clean shine on your car, Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, and a copy of the 13 Questions of Doom board game.
Is it okay if I use the turtle wax for my head?
Yes.
All right.
It is skin-approved and non-toxic.
All right. Then I'll have a nice, shiny dome.
If you'd like to participate in a future 13 Questions of Doom yourself or any other round table of terror, Badger, please tell them the email.
You can send an email to roundtable@bigscaryshow.com with all your contact information and your suggestions. And who knows, you might be the next contestant on The Big Scary Show. And we want to give a thanks, of course, to our host, Storm.
That was fun. I'm having fun, and, you know, I'm still alive, which, you know, not every host of the 13 Questions of Doom can always say.
And our contestants, including the Unknown Scare Actor.
Hey, I won, finally.
The Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
Whoop, there it is.
And my name is Drew Badger. Still a loser, but you can be a winner just by continuing to listen to The Big Scary Show. We'll be right back.
The Big Scary Show, 13 Question Tunes, is copywritten 2015 Big Scary Show LLC.
This is Cobra Commander. You've survived the 13 questions of doom and foiled my evil plan to kill you and G.I. Joe's. But you're still listening to The Big Scary Show.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist is ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out the psychosurgical coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and the Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N, Von Caron Productions.
And ladies and gentlemen, you know we've been talking conventions ever since the first of the year. We started with the big haunter-type conventions, HauntCon. We've gone through Transworld, Haunt X, lots and lots of stuff, but we can't forget our cousins, so to speak, the horror convention. You know, the Big Scary Show goes to Days of the Dead. We go to other cons all over the country. All four of the hosts have been to cons and covered stuff for us, and we've all had a great time. One that I've been to since basically the inception. It's a great con. Got its start here in Charlotte, North Carolina about 4 years ago. The Mad Monster Party, kind of becoming a franchise name out there. They've expanded not only from Charlotte. They went to New Orleans 1 year. They've gone to Phoenix and are going back to Phoenix. They've had a show in Seattle. They recently had a show in Chicago, the Mad Mobster Party. So we thought we'd talk about this. We've had this this subject on the show before, kind of the franchisation of horror cons spreading out around the country, but we're talking Mad Monster primarily in Charlotte, probably touch on Phoenix a little bit. I've got Mr. Joe Moe on the line all the way over in the beautiful Los Angeles area. Joe, are you with me?
Hey, Badger. I'm right here, sitting here looking out my window at the blue sky.
Oh, bloody. Don't want to hear it. We had you on the show in December talking about Forrest J. Ackerman. Had to have you back to talk about Mad Monster. So, in a nutshell, I know the Charlotte show is coming up the 27th through the 29th of March. Tickets are still available at the Sheraton Downtown, or Uptown, as people in Charlotte like to call it. In a nutshell, the five W's for Mad Monster Party 2015 Charlotte, and maybe a little beyond.
Wow. In a nutshell, huh? Boy, I'll try to do that. You know,
give me 30 seconds. Just kidding.
We have Charlotte is our flagship show. Charlotte's not only started it all for us, but it inspired us to reach a little further. You know, our ambition was to grow the Charlotte show to a manageable, size in the, 6,000 to 8,000 person range so that we could maintain an intimacy which not only helps the fans to really get to know each other and to have some quality time with celebrities, but it also really pleases the celebrities to feel like they can walk the halls and be fans themselves, because we all kind of come from the same place, at least in pop culture, if not specifically horror. So the Charlotte show has really, really grown to be our second home, our home away from home. And based on the success of Charlotte, we've sort of tried to do the same thing in different regions across the country. Our criteria for picking a place is need. Also, we are really mindful about stepping on the toes of our, sister shows and not encroaching on their regions, because there's room for everybody, we believe, especially if you're doing, a more intimate show like ours hopes to be. So we've spread out through the country and taken root in Phoenix, where we'll be going after Charlotte. We'll be there in May. And we've just gotten back from Chicago, where they were really welcoming, despite the fact that they have so many peripheral shows around there. And it's going really well. We look at it as an opportunity to be sort of a grateful undead, like the band, who used to have caravans of people that would follow them from one place to another. And the magic of our show in attracting people to these regions and wanting to come from one to the next is that they want to be with each other, you know, even more so than just the celebrities and the other premiums and hopefully exciting programming we provide. They really can't get enough of each other, and we certainly can't get enough of them. So this is our way to do that, to get together more often throughout the year.
It's fun. It's intimate. You have roots in show business, so you have access, being out in Los Angeles, to have access to a lot of celebrities that, frankly, you don't see at other conventions. I find that to be a really nice little selling point there.
Well, you know, it works two ways. It works in that we try to get first-time guests for two reasons. Obviously, the fans want to see people they haven't seen before. And the second reason is we want to indoctrinate, you know, celebrities into this culture of conventions, because they really enjoy it, too. And it grows. You know, when you get a new person that's never been, as we do at every single show, they tell their friends. And pretty soon, you'd be surprised at the people that are willing to come out, people that thought that conventions were a place where, you know, old celebrities, you know, climb into a cave when they're done, you know, doing what they do. But we treat all the celebrities just as they are, as talented, vital people. You know, Ann Bobby from Nightbreed. Who knew she would get up on stage during a panel and sing? Who knew she was a Broadway actress? You know, everybody knew her from Nightbreed. And this happens all the time at our shows. We get these people that you may remember from a show that happened 10 years ago, but what you didn't know is they're writing music, or they're a poet, or they are producing a show that's your favorite. You know, you never know what you're going to find out when you treat people like the vital, current, talented artists that they are. And that's sort of one of the things that distinguishes us, having come from show business, from other shows that may be mostly, you know, promoters and people that are more, you know, in the management area of show business.
Sure. Now, I've seen that over the last, you know, you've been doing this 4 years in Charlotte, you've always mm-hmm. seemed to have one, you know, A-lister that you've kind of wrapped, you know, the rest of the show around, whether it was a Bruce Campbell or an Elvira or a Hulk mm-hmm. Hogan or something. It almost seems that this year you've got some big-name people, but it doesn't seem like, it seems like you've got more upper-tier people as opposed to one or two just absolutely international blockbuster type stars. Was that intentional, you know, or is that just kind of the way it's worked out?
The way it's shaken out for us, and I mean, it's a learning process, and we are constantly refining and defining our vision. You know, the things we talked about already today are things that are goals, things that we'd hope to do. And when you say, for example, we treat artists a certain way, and the gift, the surprise, the treasure you find that you weren't expecting is that somebody's a Broadway singer. It's the same thing with our programming. Now that we've gotten a reputation, we can build our shows not so much around an individual, but around programming. For example, now that our photo ops are famous for not just being people putting their arm around your shoulder and getting a professional picture taken against a, you know, high school gray, cloudy background, but our photo ops are full makeup photo ops on green screen with environments. There's a premium for that, and we keep the price as low as we can by not taking a cut of it. This is for the fans. We're fans first. Our perk really is we get to jump in the picture if we're lucky. In Chicago, we had Kane Hodder in full Jason makeup and costume by John Buechler, who did the original makeup in the film that he was representing. So that's an incredible, you know, opportunity that you can build a show around. And in the case of Charlotte, we've got Stephen Jeffries in his Evil Ed makeup from Fright Night. By the way, we have one of the biggest Fright Night cast reunions since the movie was made happening at that show. But Steve Johnson, award-winning, you know, legendary makeup artist, is recreating that makeup on Stephen for this photo op. We've got Gunnar Hansen, who has not worn the Leatherface getup complete, you know, since 30 years ago, or however many years ago it was that he was in the film. And you're going to get
now
to stand next to him. Yeah, I mean, there you go. I was trying to be younger than I am, and I'm not. But he's going to be in full getup with a chainsaw, against a green screen backdrop where we can put in, his bone closet or whatever. And with you, this is the closest you can get to the film that you love without getting in a time machine. And even Sid Haig is going to be putting on his Captain Spaulding makeup and his Devil's Rejects costume and posing with you. And these are things, people aren't coming here to buy, a beer and buy a collectible. They're coming here to buy memories. So our business is to try to make once-in-a-lifetime memories, the kind that will enrich your life, bring you closer to the things you love, and sit on your mantle and be a story that you'll talk about your grandchildren with.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you're bringing back the original dynamic duo in Adam West and Burt Ward. Unfortunately, not doing costume, although that would be really, mm-hmm. really cool. But, not necessarily known for their horror roles, although I know Adam West has had a few. But you also seem to include a bunch of pop culture people who may not necessarily be horror known, but are well known in, the sci-fi and the, mm-hmm. Shall we say pop culture world, and,
sure,
and
sure.
Adam and Bert absolutely fit that bill this year.
We've got the three, the trinity, the science fiction, fantasy, and horror, and really pop culture, a lot of the most popular culture, from comics to anime to anything you can think of, touches the edges of all of that. And it's the nature of the society and culture today that line is a little bit obscured. And so we want to accommodate everybody. And as a horror and sci-fi fantasy fan, it's real easy when any of us throw around a name. If we go ding, 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 then it fits, And when it's Batman and Robin, ding, 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 it's bells go off all over the place. So, we're really trying to bring people together with their childhood heroes and some more contemporary heroes, and trying to infect everybody with the same kind of appreciation and spirit and involvement in fandom that we've all enjoyed so much.
And I know that you're going to have a whole room full of vendors, a lot of them selling collectibles that they can get autographs and such. But you're also getting quite the reputation for having some very, very cool, shall we say, evening after dark entertainment for more adult audiences, let's say.
R-rated, yes. We go a little blue. We go R-rated at night. And, we can have our cake and eat it too, and we do that intentionally. Even in our program map that you get, our little brochure at the beginning when you come in with events, we mention in the back that, in the daytime we really look out for the little monsters. They're the future, and we love them, and we want them to have fun. We don't want them to be traumatized. We ask our vendors if they have anything racy that they make it available, but not visible necessarily in the daytime. And, we want parents to be able to share this experience with their kids. And then at nighttime, when the kids go to sleep, we want to cut loose a little bit and let people have a great time. We don't, nothing we do is ever disrespectful. At most it will be bawdy, but, we don't laugh at people. We laugh with them. B, if we're having a pageant and there's women who are, on display doing their thing, we respect that. We never, ever, degrade anybody. That's not what we're all about. We're not prudes. We think that things can get a little sexy and racy and fun without being disrespectful or degrading, and we've managed to juggle that really well and to the satisfaction of the fans who are, looking to really party at night.
Excellent. And I'm sure everyone's going to have a great time at Mad Monster 2015. For people interested in learning more about the Charlotte show coming up in just really a couple of short weeks, so if you're anywhere in the Southeast, make your plans now, or maybe Phoenix down the road. Where can they get all that information for events, the schedules, the vendors, even the hotel tickets, all that?
Sure. We're everywhere, but there's one central hub, and it's very simple. It's www.madmonster.com. If you put that address in, click it, it'll take you to a central page that'll have sub-pages for all of our locations and all the other events that we have. When you click on an event, Charlotte, It'll take you to the page, which also gives you a list of events, vendors, ways to enter the costume contest, ways to enter the pageant. There are cash prizes for those of $500. So, you know, it's lots of fun to be had. We pride ourselves on having a show that has something for everybody. And, you know, you will have enough space and enough, you know, breathing room to meet people and to talk to them and to make actual lasting relationships that we hope will follow us all, you know, into our rocking chairs and then ultimately to our crypts.
And that's what it's really all about, is just having a good time and mm-hmm. making some great memories. So once again, yep. madmonster.com. One last question. Mm-hmm. The one area of the country you haven't seemed to really exploit yet is the Northeast. Any plans on going up New York, Pennsylvania, Boston area,
you know,
anything
our,
like that?
Our best pals, you know, Kevin does Chiller in the East, and our friend Gina does Rock and Shock. There's a lot of our people are up there, and you know, we love to go to their shows. We really go where there's a, you know, there's a vacuum or where there's a need to fill space in our particular kind of horror. And, you know, we don't have any plans to go there, but we are always interested in places that would welcome us. So, you know, we have talked about other Midwestern places and other places that might have a need or a, you know, a want for us to be there, and we're always listening. And, you know, if we don't succeed, it's because we haven't gained the support of the community or we haven't supported the community enough. And there's no better example of that than you, Badger. You've been with us from the beginning. You've been a great cheerleader for us, and your presence is always really, really warm, and you embody the kind of spirit of the kind of people that stick with us, and I want to thank you for that.
Oh, pshaw. But thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Anyway, madmonster.com, Jomo out in sunny L.A. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to take the time to come speak with us here on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, where it is 46 and cloudy and rainy today, so no jealousy at all there. Once again, madmonster.com for everything Mad Monster Party. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Reverend D-Ray and the Shockers, Zombie Cowboys, on the Big Scary Show.
Zombie Cowboys!
Zombie Cowboys, they come for your demise.
Daddy first told me this story about five outlaws on the range, running hard from a posse hot out of the Grange. They swore they'd bust hell wide open before they'd spend the night in jail. Five outlaws on the run with the law hot on their tail. Sheriff almost had the boys outside of Jackson Hole, but they busted hell wide open and the devil got their soul. He sent them undead cowboys back out to ride the range, doomed to gather souls for him out on the desert plains.
Zombie cowboys, you can see it in their eyes. Zombie cowboys, just watch them terrorize. Zombie cowboys, they come for your demise. Zombie cowboys across the plains they ride. Zombie cowboys. Across the plains they ride.
CreepyCollection.com, the most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com, for all your gore and more. Darkest reaches of the earth. This is a Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so it's the time of year where you head out to certain events in your area and, you know, spring's upon you and take in certain shows and get inspiration. Both for your everyday things around the house and, you know, for haunt season. So I was at the home show here in Rhode Island recently and got to see part of the tiny house craze. Yay, tiny houses. Yes, they make no sense and all the things they're trying to accomplish are actually part of the whole camping craze that began in the 50s and 60s, so... Go and check out the tiny house. And I did find one thing. It was not built very well. I mean, you know, as haunters and you guys who build anything, you would have found laughable and try and figure out where they have $50,000 of materials or labor or anything in its construction. Absolutely not something you'd want to hang out in, you know, in, say, ooh, a small minor hurricane or, you know, a big wind gust or anything like that. However, it did get me a thinking and the construction, everything, the minimalist of it and everything that was there, I did find it appropriate for one type of thing. And I think this is where the tiny house craze can work and how we can jump on that. Yes, tiny haunted houses. That's pretty much what this was. I mean, I've had scenes built with more stock and materials in them that made more sense with this. But yes, here we go, a haunted attraction. Jumping on the hipster tiny house craze. All tiny haunted houses. You just go in, a couple things go off, maybe half an actor, you know, maybe a whole actor. That's what it is. But you could have, you know, the most haunted attractions in the state. You could have 20 of them. They're about the size of a scene, and it'd be all tiny haunted houses. So, you know, we can embrace these types of strange cultural phenomenon and just run with it. Tiny haunted houses. you have a line of hipsters out the door and around the block ready to go in and experience it for yourself. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.HauntersDigest.com today.
Do you remember your worst nightmares? What is it that fills you with dread? Do you hear things go bump in the night? Well, it's time. It's time to face your fears.
Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com.
Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, listeners. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, the Big Scary Show has been on the air for almost 3 years, and I think I've covered just about every fear and phobia we could think of, and even a few I think I made up. So what do I do next? I'm still pondering that one, but I want to come up with a new segment for you, the listeners. Some of my ideas, or I should say one of my ideas, is I've started talking to independent filmmakers that do indie horror films, and maybe doing a segment on that. But if anybody's got any suggestions, taking a different tack here, Face Your Fears is great, I love phobias, but it's time to move on and change it up a little bit. So if any of you listeners out there have any suggestions for me, please email me, usa@bigscaryshow.com, with your suggestions. The best suggestion, if it's not one of my own, of course, but I'll take that into account, may just win a special prize from my personal collection. So throw some ideas at my way. Let me take a look at them, and if I find one I really, really like, I think you'll like something out of my own personal prop collection. So until then, always remember one thing.
Everyone is afraid of something.
I buried her in the cellar. God help me, I buried her in the earthen floor of the fruit cellar.
Vegas Rhythm Kings, Crazy Cadavers, on the Big Scary Show.
We'll be right back.
Slide back into the swamp where we hid the body. We would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm. Catch his ramblings at hauntminute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor. Videos and more. UnknownScareActor.com. The Hauntster Metalist Jerry Vane. Pick up his newest CD, Bodies in the Bayou, at jerryvane.com. Also available as a digital download on iTunes and all other digital media sites. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more. RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items. News@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook. At facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account at The Big Scary Show. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.